Dr. Mona Brockett, face to face once again. It's my
Face to face
pleasure
here,
and my
Lanster.
honor.
My honor too.
So
See
many people
you.
are waiting to hear what you have to say because there's so many things happening, shootings, political angling, funny business, people stealing, bombing, killing, gossip. We want to hear your wonderful cerebral swirls. We know you have something for us.
I do, I do. We have something for them since we do this together, but we definitely have something for them. And you know, it's funny that you saw all these things going on. It's Sunday night. I just saw the women on, and I do. People who follow me on Twitter know my like really bad pleasure is what the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Lord
At
have
least you
mercy.
admit it.
I admit it.
That means you have the filters up so that nobody really can infiltrate your mind and have you acting crazy.
Well, that's a possibility that could happen though.
Not
But
like them.
not like them. They're kicking each other on the boat, you know, and it makes me say to myself, what is this fight all about and how do we really fight? And I want to talk tonight about how do we really fight. But before we do that, I want to give a shout out
Yes.
to my cousin Reg Brockett. I want to give a shout out to my
Reg,
boy Ben Pooler.
Ben.
I want to give a shout out to a very cool couple who's on my fan page, and I think you spoke with them, Shanae
Yes.
March and
Yes.
Rixon Henry.
Sinead and
Tell them a
Rixon.
little bit about Shanae and Rixon.
They're exceptional. They're
Really
exceptional.
excellent.
I mean, I wish I can be where they were, where they are, at the age they are, even if you double their age, you know, in my They have more sense in their early 20s than I did in my early 40s.
They have more sense than I do not have in my purse. They got sense, child. I mean,
Give me
these
hope.
kids, they
They give me
really
hope.
do.
They
They
waste
really
no
do.
time. They give me hope. They waste no time with buffoonery. You know, Rixon is always so hungry to learn.
Very.
Shanae is on point in her assessment of the world around her, and
Brilliant.
she's aware, and she's going to be a firebrand for all things righteous and truthful. Rixon also, you know, taking care of his body, his mind, his spirit. I love to see that, and that would make any
Me
parent
too.
proud. They're the living, listen, they're a living trophy, an example of
Yes.
their upbringing. You know,
Thank God.
when you see people like
Thank
that, I'm not going to
God.
say, oh, just young men and young women, because we
Right.
just happened to get here on this earth before they did. But when you see people that shine so bright in their own private walk, they're a representative of people that were great. They came out of greatness. And they're
Absolutely.
a testimony to the people who raised them, their families and everybody around them, their elders. And I
Absolutely.
appreciate that.
And me too. I think, and we could have had them because they're the age of who our children would be. We're not
Right.
married. You're married. I'm not married. My finger's very empty, y'all. But we could have had those children. And they're not
Yes.
children, they're young people. And I'm
Yes.
ecstatic because,
Yes.
you know, I love your programming. I love all your programming. But
I have some
when
crazy stuff going on out there now.
you got some crazy
Yes,
stuff,
I do.
but I love seeing young intellectuals, and
Yes.
I like for them to feed your channel. So I'm going
Yes.
to break the news that they will be feeding your channel. I think you're going to
Yes.
have them on soon.
Yes.
And if people are watching me, please look at Rixon and Shanae
Yes.
or Shania, because they're just brilliant. I'm really excited about them, and I'm excited because I think they found you first, and then they found me, or they found me first,
I
then
think
they
they
found
found
you. How did it
you and
happen?
found me. Or I'm not sure how it worked out, but
They
it worked
found
out for the
us.
best. We're a package deal. They got the both of
We're a
us.
package deal. That's right.
Yes.
That's right. So
Yes.
I'm excited, and I'm
I'm
excited
excited.
that,
I really am, because for them to show me the respect that they showed me has justified all the sleepless nights and all the hard work. You know, like
Yes.
we said, we have varied programming here. We have
Yes,
some
you do.
crazy
Yes.
stuff going on, but
Yes.
I'm glad people can see past that they can see that, well, we put those things out there because it reaches the people that would appeal to even more so. And they'll come back
Absolutely.
around and they'll say, hey, you know, he was cool enough to put this out there, but look at this other stuff at a higher vibration. And that's what really
Absolutely.
counts. And,
Absolutely.
you know, sometimes we eat the dessert before the meal, but at least we get the meal inside of us.
Absolutely. And that's the best thing. I mean, I remember when again, you and I have known each other for a while, and we're finding out we know more and more people in
Oh,
common,
yes.
but since 8 years old in common,
Yes.
the thing I admire about you, a thing I'm grateful about you as my producer and about your channel, and now that we're doing TV on your channel, is that people are able to see that a black man can be varied. He can be intellectual, he can be sexual, he can be crazy, he can
Yes.
be just brilliant. And if you aren't varied like that, you would have no brilliance. So, and you're quick on your feet, which is incredible. So I think that's really important. And I thank you for showcasing our young people and our young intellectuals. I think it's really important.
That's a
But
must.
anyway, absolutely, absolutely. Now, the thing that was going through my head, excuse me for coughing up phlegm. I'm still kind of getting healthy. That's why I have my tea,
We
honey,
have
my
nothing to hide,
tea.
sweetheart. We're right here at home having a natural conversation that's not
Natural.
scripted. There are no
Not
producers around
scripted.
here. There are
No,
no people with
well, you're my
power,
producer,
you know.
but but we when I think about Shanae and Rickson and my cousin Reg, and even Ben Pooler, Ben had gotten pulled over in Morris County, New Jersey by cops, and he has this incredible piece that he put on the internet, and I put it on my page for people who want to take a look at that, and he talks about what would have happened if he did not know his rights. And we know there are people who do know their rights and they still end up dead. So, I encourage you to look at what Ben Pooler has. He's a graduate of the University of Maryland. University of Maryland isn't all terrible. They just don't like black females like me. We'll talk about that in the new year.
Beautiful black females like you who are so intelligent and
You're
so
so sweet.
spiritually based. They can't angle you. There's no way in. There's no hook to bring you down. You see?
Well,
And you're
it I
humble with it, but you're great and you're a mighty force of nature. So don't hesitate to shine.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. And it's God. And it brings me to what you just said. How do you shine? How do you fight? How do you shine and fight at the same time? I think I want to start with this before I go into like other aspects. I don't know why I'm just coughing up phlegm, child. I rebuke in the name of Jesus. Anyway, I was thinking, and I had this talk with someone recently, and in fact, I had a talk with you recently. When we actually
We always
filmed for
talk.
Thanksgiving, this is true. We actually filmed this show for Thanksgiving, folk. And what happened was we hit the wrong button. So now we're doing it Sunday at the end of Thanksgiving week. But listen, it's still something to talk about. I had this theory about fighting. And I think about Christ all the time. For those who get upset, I bring biblical text. I bring even talk about the Quran. I even talk about the Torah, but I talk about God, who I call Hashem, the man who sits in the highest heaven. And I refer to him as he. I give him a male pronoun. But anyway, when he sent Christ, when he sent Jesus down here, I was sitting back thinking about Jesus and all that he did. He fed all those people. He made sure that Lazarus walked out of the grave. There was a woman who had an issue of blood who touched the hem of his garment. And at the time she touched the hem of his garment, this other official from the town was trying to get him to go into his house to make sure that his daughter didn't die. Do you hear Jesus going off on any of them people up here trying to call him to ask him to do all them things? And I would have gone off. If somebody had touched the hem of my garment while somebody else was calling, I would have been like, look.
Well, you know what? Expect it soon because lots of folks love you. And just to touch the hem of your garment would make their day.
Lance, keep eating them grapes. Anyway, but it's interesting because you don't see Jesus going on. You see that they say he's a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, but do you see him crying? You don't see him weeping until he's on the cross.
I
You
never
don't
thought about
see
that, but that's true.
You don't. You do see him go off when they're selling stuff in his father's temple on a day they're
Right.
not supposed to be selling stuff.
Yeah, bootleg DVDs and stuff like that was unacceptable.
Yeah, he was upset about that. But you don't see him going on. I mean, like if Lazarus' sister came up to me talking about he's dead, why didn't you do what you said you was gonna do?
With the head shake, too.
With the head, why didn't you do what you said you was going to do? You know, if I was giving out some bread and somebody who ate my bread went for 30 cents, 30 pieces of silver, went and sold me to Pontius Pilate, I would have had to slap somebody.
Heads would have been rolling.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying and sweating. He looks around and everybody is
asleep. The Garden
of
what?
In the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes. He's sweating. He's praying. And what is everybody doing? They're asleep. He says, Dad, can't y'all stay awake just for me? Peter gets up, the guards come to get Jesus. Peter goes, he takes his sword and chops the guy's ear off. Jesus is like, yo, hold up. Picks the ear up, puts the ear back up on the guy. Now, I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it says he was smoking some Chiba while he was doing it. But Jesus remains super, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. Now, somebody's
If that was weed that did it, then that's some from what I hear, because I don't smoke, but they say it's some powerful good stuff.
No, I don't think it was. I really think that it's all about how do you fight. Is the fight emotional or is it intellectual? And when you are in a fight, are you concentrating on the fight or are you concentrating on your emotions?
That's right.
Okay? It's deep.
Look at a professional fighter. A professional fighter gets hit, and any good professional fighter knows that you're not supposed to get emotional. Nobody likes to get hit in the face. But when you come out in that first round and you have that feeling out round, there is that first punch that you will receive. Sometimes you are the dominant fighter and you're a favorite to win, but you will get knocked down and you will catch a good blow. That's going to happen in a fight, in any fight. So if we lead with our emotions, we're going to lose the fight. And so this is why when the enemy comes at us, we can't fall for the trap of the emotional taunts that they throw out at us to get us caught up in that emotion and get our pride involved. And all of a sudden we forget about the intellectual. We have to execute the game plan on that spiritual level, on that intellectual level, and keep our personal emotions out of it and think of the long-term battle.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in thinking about that long-term battle, It made me, in thinking about this, now I'm glad you're a fighter. I'm glad that you fought. I'm glad you
I'm a big fighter. I mean, in my spirit, I like boxing and I did a little bit of it. And so I bloodied my nose a little bit, but my spirit is that. And I use those analogies because I love that sport so much. And I think, you know, if I can come back, I'll do it. You know, I should have done it, but it's so many analogies with that. And I think that way in my fight in the spirit. And in the whole intellectual thing, because we have forces coming at us every day. There's always something coming at us, and we have to conquer ourselves first. If you're a fighter, you have to conquer yourself. You feel pain. You've got to think beyond that pain. You got to think about what that goal is, whether it be a degree or getting that mortgage or losing that weight or recovering from a sickness or an addiction or getting over that breakup. It's a fight, and we have so many different things that. It's not one round at a time. It could be multiple in life.
Multiple rounds.
So we have to know how to fight.
And we have to talk about this because right now we're in a fight.
Yes.
We're in a fight for our life. We're in a fight for our souls, actually.
That's right.
You know, when I think about this young man who was shot, 17, 16 times? What was his name? Let me find his name. Laquan McDonald.
It's getting to be a blur. It's like every week this. And we know the news focuses on things. We know it's more than every week. It's every day. But not because of social media, but this seems to be happening more and more. I don't care. It's in the way it's done. You know, so we have to look now at a piece of paper to remind us what the name is. You know,
but,
no, that's not a fault of yours, but it's becoming a blur now. It's concerning me. You know,
that's right. And even the other side of it is becoming a blur because of the man who went and shot up Planned Parenthood, the live shooter who shot four people and he was able to walk away. But Laquan was walking down the street and he was shot 17 times. Everything's a blur on both sides of the fence, both sides of what's happening. It's interesting because I think that I have to look at this, too. I think it was the mayor. Who was the mayor of Dallas, the mayor of Dallas, just said his name is Mike Rawlings. The mayor of Dallas told the people at MSNBC he's not afraid of ISIS. He's not afraid of Islam. He's afraid of white men with guns.
And look
they
what,
were
look what
mad
happened.
At him.
Yeah, well,
and he's a white man saying this.
Well, look, let me tell you something. I'm always aware of my surroundings, and you know, I've been on this earth for a little while now, and I know how precious time is, and I know I might be closer to the end than I am to the beginning, hopefully not, but you know, when I see white men with guns or white men who have a look on their face or just, I'm not afraid, it's just that I'm watching. They tell us that we're the thugs, that we're the criminals, that we're out of control. But who's shooting up these places for no reason at all? And you are supposed to be the people who have the privileges in this society and in this country. What's your problem? You don't have to deal with racism. And it's so, as soon as somebody tells you the truth about something, you want to call somebody who looks like me a racist who doesn't even have the power to inflict any type of sick agenda on you, which I'm not full of that. I would hope that I'm a better person than that because I don't have that sickness. It's just
but,
so
you know,
crazy
gonna,
how they throw off on us.
Well, but and they do. It does seem like they throw off on us, but I think everybody's throwing off on everybody these days. I really do.
Yeah.
People may not like that statement that I just made, but it's true. And I think that people need to, you know, unless you know your history, you cannot move forward. Okay, unless you know your history, you know, you cannot move forward. And we need to take a look at our history. I'm gonna do a little history lesson, just a quickie.
Give it to us.
Just a quickie. And, you know, because thinking about how to fight, thinking about how Jesus fought. Okay, he didn't get too emotional except for when he was up on that cross hanging, and that stuff hurt. So of course he wept. I would have wept too. I would have been crying and been like, you know what, God, I ain't asked for this, but you know, there better be some collard greens up there and some, you know, macaroni and cheese. But anyway, and so
sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie. Lord, talking about that.
Banana pudding.
How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Very much a vegan Thanksgiving. And
I
enjoyed
yeah.
it. I mean, the focus for me on Thanksgiving is not so much the food. I'm just glad that I'm here.
Amen.
Today is Thanksgiving. Every day is
Amen.
Thanksgiving. Every moment that I can execute what's in my soul and my spirit and fulfill my mission is Thanksgiving to me.
Absolutely.
At this point. Because I'm
100%.
Watching so many people get sick. So many people pass away. So many people get shot down. And I really feel blessed. And this is why I want to really make it Thanksgiving for others who are around me. By
yes.
being a humble servant of the people. And whatever's
that's
in
it.
Me, using it to serve the purpose for the greater good.
Serve
so that's
the
my Thanksgiving.
That and I agree with that. You know, it was funny because when we first shot this and at our Thanksgiving conversation, and we kind of messed up the little things, we were talking about, can we be thankful or can we not be thankful? You know, because Angelina Jolie said, you don't celebrate Thanksgiving because it's the holiday that they killed people, da 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 da. But the reality is, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. You want to know something? Those folk who marched through Macy's are thankful that they were able to march through Macy's because it could be that one day, very soon, and let me tell you why I say that, very soon, they will not be able to march through Macy's in Manhattan, in Midtown, saying Black Lives Matter, because, frankly, the head of the UN told Obama that our policing strategies in America should reflect international policing strategies, which means that he wants policing to be militarized. Now, let me back up for a minute.
Lord
Obama
mercy.
Has put together a 60-country force to fight ISIS. Now, let me explain something. When during the Korean War, when China and, oh, I'm forgetting who else, invaded Korea, okay, there was a 16-country force that helped. And everything was fine. Now there is a 60 country military force that Obama put together, and they still can't take care of ISIS. That's one. Two, I think it's Yinke Wo, Minke Hu, whatever his name is, the head of the UN, said to Obama, you need to militarize your police. Now, I just want y'all to hang with me for a minute. Let's go back to the 60s. The end of the 60s.
The good old days.
Good old days, honey. At the end of the 60s, once Kennedy had been assassinated and Johnson took over, they put together these monies for something called the Greater Society so that everybody in society could be equal, equal education, equal pay, housing, so that folk who were disenfranchised could be brought up and those who were wherever they are could also stay where they are. Well, once Johnson left the office, when Nixon got in, because there was so much rioting, because there were schools where people were being shot up, because there were malls where people were being shot up, because there were presidents that were being assassinated, Nixon put those monies from the Greater Society into something called the Law Enforcement Agency of America, the LEAA. All of a sudden, there were criminal justice majors and PhDs all over the country at universities. Policing, there were a bunch of police that were hired. And simultaneously, there was a 200% increase in arrests of black men.
That's the result of that.
That was the result of that. Now I'm putting all this together. It seems like I just have a salad that has, we don't even have a, it seems like I'm about to toss some salad.
Wait, what did you just say?
Seems like I'm about to toss some salad.
I think I'm going to leave that one alone. But
I got the lettuce. I got the... Anyway.
Well, you know, I think when they militarize the police and they watch us in the Black Lives Matter marches, like the one in New York City, they want to march us down to the FEMA camp so we can toss the salad of this government and do their bidding. That's what they want. They want black people to toss their salad. And I don't mean the kind with the dressing.
But I was about to ask you, what kind of dressing do you like?
Hmm?
I was about to ask you, what kind of dressing do you like?
Well, I don't know. They might have some Honey Boo Boo dressing or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or Shenanay.
I thought you were about to say something else before the Nene came in.
Shenanay. Anyway.
Sugar,
the reason I'm putting it all together is because...
put it all together. Go ahead, Ramona.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's one of those romantic songs. Where's Miss Curve? I know she's waiting for after this. Anyway, you up here, let's put it all together, honey. All right, now I have to call her in the morning and see how her skin looks. Anyway, what is happening here, and I think what people need to pay close attention to, Lance, is the fact that history is about to repeat itself, but on a much broader scale. The Korean War happened in the late 50s to early 60s. The Kennedy assassination was early 60s. Johnson got out of office in the late 60s, and we see the whole militarization of the LEAA, militarization of the police, from the late 60s through, I would say, the 70s to the 80s. Things began to fall off when, what was that boy's name who plays the trumpet? His wife is running. Oh, Clinton.
Yeah.
When Clinton was in, you saw a little
Hitler-y.
Bit of change. You know, because Clinton and Hitler-y were so busy trying to get schools to teach black kids Ebonics as opposed to English, that you know, all that money went into making sure that our kids didn't know things, couldn't speak English well, so that by the time we got to the 21st century, all they could do would be get arrested. Did I just say that?
And also, you know, President Clinton was busy keeping the dry cleaning industry very busy.
Very busy.
Yeah.
Nothing like cigars and dry cleaning.
Exactly. And those stains.
Stain. Anyway, here's the reality. We have Obama, who has a directive from the head of the UN. to militarize the police. We see all over the country. We can see, like the last time we were on, I was talking about how the police had been militarized here right in New York City. And we can see this all over the country, though. We see literal army trucks that police are driving. We see riot gear. It's nothing but the militarization of police. Are police gearing up to make sure that once the next president gets in, that no one is able to really express themselves? And is this like a double whammy? Because I've just got to get this out.
It's also the intimidation factor. You know, I drive all over. I drive a bus here in Orlando. And not just that, but just in traveling all over the country.
Get on the bus. Get on the skirt bus. Yeah.
There you go. That's the best bus in town. You'll never be late.
Best bus in town, yeah. Go ahead.
I love it. These are sound bites. I love these master mixes. Get on the bus. I'm a DJ with the turntable here.
Get on the bus.
There you go.
Get on the bus now.
They're trying to get us to toss salad, but get on the bus.
Toss that salad. Get on the bus. Do the name and get on the bus. And whip it. White picking cotton. Just whip it. White picking cotton.
And see, you're crazy now, but those other segments that people never saw, oh, wow, she's a riot. But we can never show those.
We can't show those.
But the intimidation factor, I see you take places like, let's take the Orlando area for those who know Orlando.
Orlando.
Take an area like Tangelo Park, Orange Center, Carver Shores, Richmond Heights, Pine Hills, certain parts of Apopka. In Central Florida, in the Orlando area, those are all black neighborhoods. Some of them lower middle class, but all black neighborhoods.
Okay.
Many black people live there, hardworking black people. The majority, I would say, are hardworking black people.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're in these neighborhoods, and we may not have the most money or the most political influence, our dirty laundry is aired out a lot more. So the stigma on us, when the media amplifies it, they can always find a situation to make us look bad. But if you go to areas like, say, Windermere.
I've heard of Windermere.
Well, okay. Tiger Woods, Shaq, lots of other people who have a little more money. Those are more expensive homes and a lot of influence politically with donations that go to campaigns. It's looked at as heaven. But to bring it back around, you don't see
heaven
police.
Must be missing an angel. Okay, go ahead.
No, hell must be missing a police officer.
All
when you
right,
see what
man.
They do here.
Putt.
You take Pine Hills, you take Carver Shores, you take Tangelo Park, you take these neighborhoods, Richmond Heights, huh? These areas, you'll see the police at night, out of nowhere, drive so fast. I mean, like something's going on. They turn the corner, they cut the lights off, they go normal speed. You'll see 4, 5, 6 police cars diagonal from a corner of maybe a few black men who stopped on the corner to talk.
Okay.
They're not selling drugs. I might know some of these guys personally, but that's their neighborhood. They don't have big backyards. They have the apartments that they have to go to where you'll see the cops over there standing with their arms crossed.
Militarized.
Mean mugging these guys. Mm-hmm. But you go to Windermere, you don't see that. Yes, very friendly, walking little old ladies across the street, helping cats out from the tree, and making sure just walking and friendly and waving and just your friend to serve and protect. We don't
and
get
you know
that
why.
Over
you know
in our
why.
Neighborhoods.
Do you want to know why? You want to know why? It's called taxes, baby. Taxes, baby.
Of course.
The higher the taxes, the better you're supposed to be treated. Supposed
right.
to be treated.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Because see, now let me hit it for a minute. As we toss in the salad.
Let me hit it for a minute while you're tossing the salad. That is
yeah, because we got to explain what the toss in the salad is a minute.
Oh, of course.
After we hit
many,
it.
There are many ways that can be taken.
All right now. In New Jersey. North Jersey, wealthy neighborhoods, you know. I remember growing up and my police stopped my father, lived up on the hill in Madison, stopped my father. Didn't realize who he was. Oh, Mr. Brockett, we're so sorry. There's just been a rash of car thievery and we were just checking. Why? Because he's black? So understand that while they say it's nice in those neighborhoods, The reality is, if you don't look right in that neighborhood, there's a possibility that the police don't know you. They will hurt you. Okay? Because people get deceived that if you're there and you're Tiger Woods and you're there, you're going to be okay. You're not going to be okay. We're not going to be okay. So it goes back to my question, how do you fight? Because everything we're talking about evokes like, yo, don't start none, won't be none. Okay? All right? And you just want to be like, how do I deal with kicking this person in their behind because they're coming after me? They're coming for me. Okay? You come for me. All right? And I mean, let's look at Jesus. They were coming for him left and right. And he was just like, hold on a minute. I'll be with Lazarus in a minute. Somebody's blowing out my coattail. Yes. Oh, you got an issue of blood? All right, then. Oh, wait. I'll take care of your daughter. Hold on. You know, he wasn't like, what?
Exactly.
We can't be like that either.
That's right.
Which is deep. Because when your son is being pulled out of his car and beaten, when your daughter is being dragged across the street, okay, when you get in your car when you leave the bus stop and you know you have to drive a certain way home, you have to make sure you put those blinkers on, everyone's at risk. And again, right, it goes back to what I said before, and I hope that the National Bar Association people who got mad at me for saying what I said get unmad and get intellectual about it. Take
right.
the red pill, not the blue pill.
That's right.
And deal with the fact that we are not looked at as human, but we're looked at as 3/5 of people. And there's no legislation yet which says that we aren't that and that we're human. There's no legislation out there that says to legalize being black. Let me say that again.
That's right.
Let's legalize being black. Do we legalize it by getting mad, stomping, and kicking butt? No. We legalize it intellectually. Now, when we go home, we can be acquainted with grief. Okay? When we think about being put on that cross, we can cry. But while we're fighting it, it's intellectual. Okay? And I think that it's hard for people to do that. And what I think, because it really matters what I think. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it really matters with this black girl thing, right?
You're saying some deep stuff here, sweetheart.
I'm being sarcastic because white people are like, kill that Negro. Kill the Negro.
Well,
not all
it's
white
nothing
people.
That they don't think anyway.
And then,
they
wait,
get,
not just white
they
people.
Get others to think about
black
how to that
the black pickaninnies. The pickaninnies are like,
exactly.
Oh, child, kill that Negro because she going to make us not have our crumbs. Kill the Negro. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Kill the Negro. Oh, Lord. Pick them up.
Oh, you must have been visiting Orlando. Do you know any Orlando politicians? I mean, the black ones, the lower levels?
Orlando, Maryland, they're all the same thing. Maryland,
where did
Orlando,
last girl get this one from? She's brilliant. She's beautiful. She has a New York accent and she's smart. Don't bring her down here, Lance. She will revolutionize things down here. We already don't like you down here.
We sure don't. But we like strange fruit, so you want to hang from the tree?
Jill Scott can sing the song. All over the world, we can't stop you.
We can't stop you. Oh, Lordy, Pickleville coming. Oh, Lordy, Pickleville, hey. Gotta jump down, turn around, Pickleville coming. Anyway.
Dr. Ramona Brockett.
Now, let me get it together for they call it the ambulance. Not the ambulance, the ambulance. Because, you know, it's an ambulance. You know, they taught us in school.
No, ambulance.
Oh, Amber Lamps. Oh, okay.
You gotta get real ebonic with it.
Oh, Amber Lamps. I need to get me the Amber Lamps. Anyway, but that's really wrong. Lord help us. What was the other accent we were doing before? Let me get back to Ramona.
The Nigerian.
Father in the name of Jesus. The Anyanyamayahu. So, we need to look at the history before we all get our salad tossed. Because what's about to happen is your boy is about to leave what? Office. You know, I'll tell you something that bothered me the other day. I'm just go there. Okay. People going to get mad at me. I don't care. If you get mad at me, get mad at me.
We can take it. We are big boys and girls.
Big boys and girls. Big kahunas.
Not all of us now.
This is true.
We act that way sometimes, but we don't always have the big kahunas.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, Witch Hazel,
Ding
that is.
Dong, Viagra's gone. Viagra Falls.
Viagra Falls. So, talking about Viagra Falls, President Obama and his family were feeding the homeless, primarily black, there in Washington, D.C. And this one man said to him, "Oh, you're doing such a good job. Thank you." And I said to myself, "Are you freaking kidding me? This man's homeless. We are about to get slammed in a matter of months." Not a whole lot has been said about the folk who are dying left and right. I don't see our black congressional caucus doing much of anything except having luncheons. Do you?
Nope.
I don't hear our black politicians doing much of anything. Do you?
Nope.
I did see your president, our president, stand up and sing, "Well, Lordy, pick," what was that song he sang? "When Peace Like a River." No, wait. What was Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace.
Of all songs, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, the song about the man who almost lost his life while transporting slaves, but then came to Christ.
Wow.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's who wrote the song. He became an abolitionist, the man who wrote that song. But it was all about the storm that he went through, that he then realized he's transporting human beings to be enslaved. But he learned how nature enslaved him with the storm, and he almost lost his life. It's kind of deep. So anyway, and I
maybe
hear
he should listen to the words of those of that song, and maybe he's predicting his future.
Oh, well, you know, he became an abolitionist. And,
I'm talking about somebody else, you know.
Barry. Barry. I just find it interesting. Coldplay, I heard that Coldplay is actually going to sample him singing that and turn it into a song.
Oh,
did
really?
You hear about that?
Oh, God. How surreal. As we're being led to slaughter.
As we're being led to slaughter.
He helped push the legislature that led us to slaughter in the FEMA camps.
In the FEMA. That saved
grace.
A wretch. Amazing Grace, how sweet.
How's he going to feel?
That saved a wretch like me.
Mm-hmm.
I once was lost, but now I'm fine. Was
Believe
blind,
God's
but now
mercy
I
can be exhausted.
All right, now I see, honey. And so here we have this homeless man saying, "Thank you so much." There are people that are going to disagree with me. They are. But here's the reality. When Johnson got out of office and Nixon took over, I'm not sure that Johnson knew what Nixon was going to do with those monies and that he was going to put them into the LEAA and that 200% plus black men were going to be arrested and eventually end up in jail. Why would they end up in jail? There's a difference between arrests and convictions. But the reality is, if you don't have a good lawyer, your arrest can turn into a conviction. Okay?
We're
so
like
if,
pigeons.
You know, absolutely. If we don't know our history, it's bound to repeat itself. So what is Obama going to do to protect the lives of black folk, to protect the people who are saying black lives matter, black women's lives matter? What is he going to do to protect that so that when the next person gets in, they don't make sure that everyone's silenced? Because when Nixon got in, although Nixon was a great statesman, he did a whole lot with the Chinese, he did, when it came to silencing the people who were saying we deserve to have rights, he shut them down. And of course, the Texas boy, Johnson, he wasn't expecting the guy to shut him down. But here is Obama. He's an expert in the Constitution. We were all in law school at the same time. I was at Boston College Law School. He was across the river at Harvard. He was the editor of the Harvard Law Journal. His whole staff was white, but he was the editor of the Harvard Law Journal. So he knows about history. What is going to happen? Black Bar Association, what are you going to do to help legalize being black in America? Obama, what are you going to do to protect this thing called lives matter? Or is it that no one's life matters? And once the police are militarized, and once we're neither black nor white, male nor female, once we're all one, and they militarize the police, and they militarize us all as one, we're all silenced. Whose salad gonna be tossed then?
That, my friends, is the Dr. Ramona Brockett challenge. What are we going to do to legalize being black in the United States of America?
We need to be legalized. We are not legalized. This country is how many years? 257 years old? 56? We aren't legal. That is why when you're pulled over by a policeman, they can then go and treat you as though you're a piece of meat, because the 13th Amendment says, my theory, conceptual incarceration, there's no slavery except as a punishment for crime. When is your crime punishable? As soon as you are in the hands of the police, as soon as they tell you, stop. And if you are a fleeing felon, they can stop you by any means necessary. If you're a fleeing felon and you aren't considered human, they can shoot you dead. When are we going to be legal? As mad now. When are we going to be legal? As get gut. You have to understand something. We got get. We the more we got,
you know,
the more we like got get.
As a black man, and this is
are you a black man?
I'll find out real quick when I go outside and run down the street real quick, and nobody thinks I'm jogging. Some people can run and they're jogging. Me, I run. I'm running from something, or I'm getting ready to go do something. But as a black person.
Yes.
Whether male or female, but I'm a male, and this goes for females.
Yes.
As a black man, as a black person in America, I feel like that woman who gave everything to that man.
Everything.
Who gave it all up. Love.
Give it up. Give it up.
Commitment.
Commitment.
And I mean commitment.
All right now,
all
commitment.
Of the goodies. Hard oh, work, sweat, hard tears, work. Cooking, sweat, keeping the clean house clean.
Clean.
Giving up all the money
all
to that man.
To the man.
And that man didn't even think to put a ring on my finger to make me legal.
Oh, what happened?
To show me back that they are also
yes.
happy to commit to me.
Happy,
and fulfill that
happy,
so-called
happy,
promise
happy,
that really was never made.
That's right?
Right. So now we're asking.
He perpetrated a fraud.
We want to be legal. We don't want to be three-fifths anymore. I mean, we know that we are much more than that. And we don't need you to tell us that we are, or to put it on paper, because we know we're even greater than a three-fifths. As a matter of fact, every time, and it's so funny, every time I drive by the bank, a fifth third.
That's right.
We're actually five-thirds of a human being.
Thank you.
We're supernatural.
Thank you.
And this is why you're so afraid of us, and you don't want us to know who we are. Because we're five-thirds. Mm-hmm. We're damn near two of you. And even in our decadent state, drugged out, cracked out, whored out, tired,
disillusioned,
effeminized,
messed up.
We're still mighty.
That's
See?
Right.
Three-fifths to five-thirds.
That's right.
Dr. Ramona Brockett challenge.
That's right. I wonder how many black people have accounts at five-thirds.
I don't see those banks. Before I say anything, let's do a little research.
We may have
I'm
going to
ask
research.
Somebody I know in the banking industry. Not that there's going to be a breakdown, but it could be.
Or was five-thirds actually like the Illuminati's joke?
Yes. What does it mean, fifth-third? You know, what does that mean? That we are five-thirds of a human being, of one of those human beings,
or
but
we
are treated
are we
as three-fifths?
Or are we the fifth of the third? It's deep.
They love to rub numbers in our face.
They do.
You know? So
they
that
do.
Means something, especially in the financial industry.
Most
and they have
definitely.
A simple answer prepared probably, but you know what? It's going to go much deeper than that.
And I'm going to tell you something straight up. People are going to be like, what are they talking about? How could they say that they're not human? How could they? You have to remember, many of the people who put the whole three-fifths... The three-fifths thing together were the KKK, who are the Democrats, because that's who started the Democrats, the KKK.
Did you say the Democrats?
Oh, Dixiecrats. The Dixiecrats. Let's be nice. That's what they call themselves in Maryland, the Dixiecrats. And, you know, the ones that are so good to the black people, just as long as you make sure you hang that other one up on the tree, we going to be good to you, son.
That's right. Give us our watermelon and them scraps of pork, and we good to go.
Scraps of pork. Okay, that's it. Pork? You put an R in it? Oh, my God. Like, how did that happen?
Gotta forgot the R. But when we say R, we got to say aura.
Aura, yes, mm-hmm. aura, because mm-hmm. aura becomes goes before S and T, mm-hmm. and you gotta sip your tea. But seriously, folk, I mean, like, people are gonna look and they're gonna be mad because we're talking about this. They're gonna be angry that somebody's actually saying, what happened to the legislation that said black people were no longer 3/5 of people? But any time Obama can bring, who are these people that he wants to bring into the country that everybody's afraid of?
Syrians.
He can bring in a whole bunch of Syrians, okay? And wait a minute, President Bush, what did he do?